are the light. You are light, and you drive out darkness. We live in a messed up world, fallen world, God, but you are here with us, walking with us. You sent Jesus here for us to save us and reconcile us to you. And we thank you for that. You did that because you loved us, and we thank you for that love. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. And you came here to die for us, for our sins. Thank you for walking with us and protecting us and driving out evil when we call on you. Evil has no authority and right to be near us because we are your children. We are men of God and women of God. And we walk in that authority that you've given us. God, we thank you. Father, right now, as the kids prepare to go to Sunday school, God, we pray that you would just bless them. Father, bless their minds, bless their hearts, God. Allow them to be taught something, Father, that impacts their everyday life, God, so that they can be an impact in their school or wherever they go, whoever they come in contact with. God, not just their school, Father, but that they would come, if they come in contact with adults, God, that the lessons that they learn today can impact those adults as well, Father. God, I pray that you would just touch them and bless them. Open their ears so they hear, and settle their hands so they don't hit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I have kids. I know how it goes. Have a seat, guys. I have to move that paper because otherwise I get fidgety and I spin. A paper I flew, and my girls were making fun of me after I threw it. They're like, good job, Dad. Thanks. Man. Thanks, guys. Isn't it good to be in church? Isn't it good to gather together and just chat, hang out, visit? It's great. I love it. Did everybody get Mother's Day, all the ladies get Mother's Day lunch last week? Good. Bob? Supper? Oh, nice. Well, that works. Because I remember I threw that offer out there. If anybody didn't have plans, Lyle would love to take you out for lunch. It's still good. It's an offer that keeps given. We'll talk about that later, right, Lyle? So we've been talking about our identity and who we are isn't based on what other people say about us. Who we are is based on what God says. Who we are in Jesus. And that's based on what is true. We can take all these things that are happening around us, and the things that give us our perspective and our opinion on things, and we can get a little bit deceived sometimes, I think. We can get manipulated by our emotions into thinking something's not true, right? A little bit like the story we talked about the last couple of weeks where the prophet was there in the town and they were surrounded, but the truer perspective was God's perspective. When they were surrounded by angels, they were protected, and the heavenly hosts are doing battle for them against this army. So God's perspective is always true. So the truest thing about us is what God says is true. And the Bible says that we're in this spiritual battle. We're not in the garden anymore. We live in a fallen world. And there is an enemy that is trying to do battle for our soul. And he manipulates others around us and tries to cause that to manipulate our perspective a little bit. When things don't go right, sometimes people have this, Christians have this perspective, well, this Christian thing doesn't work. God doesn't really love me. I can't beat my hang up. I'll never see victory over this. Maybe they'd be better off if I wasn't around. And the list can go on and on and on about this negative connotation that or context that people can put themselves in. And sometimes we don't speak those, we internalize them. Because to us, they're true. But you know what? They're not true. God doesn't speak any of that over us, does he? So the truest thing about us is what God says is true. And when we know it's true, it sets us free, doesn't it? All these movies, the truth shall set you free, when they're up there, the lawyers always saying, you know, we need to get the truth because the truth is what's going to get you free out of jail. The truth's going to release you into the streets again so that you can be in freedom, right? So the Bible tells us the truth shall set us free. So when I know who I really am in Christ, when I know who I really am in God, that's the truth. And that's freeing. And that sets us free. It will empower you to live a victorious life, a righteous life, a loved life. To live a life where Christ's light shines in you and through you to others. And you can be a blessing to others. See, there I go, spitting again. That's what? That's why you move back. So this week we're going to talk a bit more about what God says. And God says that I am perfectly loved in Christ. Can you say that with me? I am perfectly loved in Christ. I am perfectly loved. Romans 8, 28 to 39 reads, long scripture again today, sorry. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he also not along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble on hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors in all things through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us, doesn't he? And nothing will separate him, will stop him from loving us. Nothing will stop him from pursuing us. Nothing will stop him from wanting a relationship with us. See, one of the biggest things we have in our mind is, well, does God really love me? But all the things I've done, can God really love me? God loves you. God wants to know you. God wants relationship with you. Are you already on the next slide? You are. See, this is an amazing truth, and it's true because God says it's true. He wants to know us. This is what's true about someone who is a new creation in Christ. When we look at life, our perspective, from our perspective, we get it wrong. When we look at things that are going around us, we get them wrong all the time because it's our perspective. And we don't see the whole picture. But we understand God's perspective, which is absolutely true. It's reliable. That's when we can get it right. Seth just got new glasses last week, and he really couldn't see much. And we discovered that he really couldn't see a thing. Could you, Seth? Why don't you put that down, buddy? So we discovered that what happened, he couldn't see a sign even. He thought it was all yellow. And when he had his glasses on, he could see it was black and yellow. What happened? His perspective changed. Something allowed him to see things more clearly, didn't it? Sometimes we need to put on our glasses and get rid of our perspective where it's a little blurry and not quite clear. Because the truest thing about me is what God says is true. And God says that we're perfectly loved in Christ. Period. So God's love for me is sovereign and is powerful in Christ. Romans 8:28 tells us, I don't have a slide for that. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all things are good. Maybe sometimes things don't feel that good in your life. But it says all things work to the good of those who love him. God causes those things to work out. See, God's love is sovereign. God's love is powerful. God is in charge and he is the king. And his love is coming out in his through his kingship. And it's moving in our lives towards a plan and a purpose, the plan and purpose that he has for us. He's bringing this all to happen. He has the power to execute the plan that he has as well. Right? He's not just here to say, well, I think this is what should happen. Let's see how it plays out. Let's roll those dice. No. He might seem like he's rolling the dice with your life. But the truth is, it's a magnetized dice, and he knows it's going to be sixes all the time. I think that's because that's the best you can roll. It's the highest number. That's going to be my explanation. But he has a plan, and he has the power to make that plan happen. He has the authority to make that plan happen. And God's love is of such a nature, God's love towards you, is that he has taken all the good things, the bad things, and the ugly things in your life, and he still loves you. The good stuff that we allow in that brings us pain, he still loves you. And he wants to get rid of that out of your life. The second thing is, God's love for me is redemptive in Christ. God's love for me is redemptive in Christ. Because the promise of God is that he will cause everything to work for good. It's redemptive. Stuff doesn't just happen to me. I'm not here just because the atmosphere and the universe says I should be here. Right? I don't get hit by a car just because the universe had me hit by a car. It happened because God said, I want you up here. I don't know. I'm not in Rosetown right now because it seemed like a nice place. It does seem like a nice place. I'm not saying that. But I'm not here just because, oh, That seems like a good place. But God had a plan to bring us here. God has a plan for our lives, and it's a good plan and a good purpose. And Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that. We talked about that in January. God's love for us is redemptive. His plan, he is guiding us with his Holy Spirit and working things out to the fulfillment of his plans. See, in Jeremiah 29:11, what does it say? Okay, I got to pull it up because I'm going to say it wrong if I don't. Jeremiah 29:11. Wow. I feel silly because I didn't have it in my notes. Jeremiah. So, what does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So, we'll go with that. We'll go with the abbreviated version. No, that's good. I should have had it there. That's right. So, is our hope in all those other things that he's giving us, that he's telling us, or is our hope, is our confidence in God? See, I think sometimes we put our hope and our confidence in all those things that he says. But our hope and our confidence needs to stand firmly in God, doesn't it? See, that's why maybe if something isn't going quite as you would plan, you can still have supernatural peace and confidence. Even when things maybe are falling apart a little bit in your life, you can still have this supernatural peace and confidence because he is working it out to his end. It's because your confidence isn't in the all things. It isn't in the looking pretty pieces. It's in God. See, doubts are kind of part of our life. We can all have doubts when things maybe don't feel right. I can have doubts right now about, is the new clinic here in Rosetown, is it going to work out? I don't know. I can have those doubts. But where do I take my doubts? I take them to the King, don't I? Isn't that where we take our doubts? See, because he knows the plans he has for us. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. So why do I need to bear my doubts? I can take it to the guy that's got the plan. Can't I? See, God loves us, and he cares. And he is with us in the all things. And God has clearly told us that he does love us. So why do we listen to the manipulation that's going on around us sometimes? See, that's when we can get it wrong. But God always has it right. So we need to put on our God goggles and look at things in a much clearer perspective. And what God says is that I am perfectly made and loved with a powerful and sovereign love and with a redemptive love. So the third thing is God's love for me is knowledgeable in Christ. So our passage, I'm going to read the same verses again. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So foreknew means before we were born, God already knew everything about us. He knew that candy bar you might steal when you were in the fourth grade. He knew That time you were speeding down the highway doing 190, yelling at everybody. He knew. And you could throw any sin in there that you might have done. I don't want to name sins. But he knew all your sins, right? And he still loved you. He knew your sins. He knew you at the start of time. He knew you when he sent Jesus. And he knew what a mess you would make of things when you were left to your own devices. But he still sent Jesus because he loves you and he wants to know you. And he loves us anyways. God's love is knowledgeable. God knows all these things from our life. How many times have you ever prayed and said to God all these things that maybe he didn't know? Have you ever? Because it doesn't happen. He knows all things. Like you're like, oh God, about this job, God, about these bills. God, my kids, they're driving me crazy. God knows that. He knows all that. And he loves us. And he's got a plan for us. He knows everything. Everything that's going on. He is fully knowledgeable. Fully knowledgeable. He knows everything about us. And he still loves us. Because the truest thing about us is what God says is true. The fourth thing is God's love for me is protective in Christ. Verse 30 and 31 says, or sorry, not 30, 31, 31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Did you know there's an opposition to you? Your life is a battle, and the Christian life is even more of an intense battle than regular lives. See, the thing is, though, we're not out there fighting our battles, are we? How do we fight our battles? We take it to the King again. We take our battles to the King. If we fight our own battles, if we try to get in there and tussle it out, we're going to get depressed, we're going to get stressed, we're going to live defeated, we're going to get down, we're going to think that this isn't working. Why don't we just take it to the King? See, God's love, because he loves us, should give us the confidence to know that victory is there. Hope is there because of his love for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Period. There's a who behind the what. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who? It's not that my car broke down or that things aren't maybe going well in my family life. There's a who behind the what. It's some of our battles that we're battling with. There's a who behind the what. 1 Peter 5 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is the who. He is the who. And the Bible also says, Jesus came so that we may have life and have it abundantly, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a thief. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy marriages, friendships, break relationships down, try to break churches apart. Where's your focus? Is it on what's going on here or is it on the King? If we take it to the King, we don't need to worry about the battle. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? No one. God's love is for you. God's love is protective. God will protect us from anything that the evil one tries to throw at us. God is for us. And because God is for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing has authority over us unless you give it authority. So don't give it authority. Take it to the King. That's what we need to do. In all situations, if something comes against us, take it to the King. He wants to fight our battles for us. He said, I will fight your battles. Hang on, I gotta see something. Next point, God's love for me is sacrificial in Christ. Verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, God gave up his son for us. That's the heart of the gospel, isn't it? God sending Jesus to earth to die on the cross for us because he wants all of us gathered to him and come to him. The sacrifice of Jesus. The substitution of Jesus for Dave. The substitution of Jesus for Mel. The substitution of Jesus for Bob. For Myrna. I gotta stop walking around so much. The substitution of Jesus for us all, right? Jesus took our place. He sacrificed Jesus for us. Out of his love for us. God sent his perfect and blameless son to die for us, sinners who sin. But we're redeemed because of Jesus. That's the measure of God's love for us. And when I really embrace, that empowers me to love God back. Because I actually can fully understand how much God loves me. And you know what the crazy part is? I say I understand. Oh, I'm spitting everywhere. I say I understand, but I don't understand. Because how can I understand something that is just immense? It's indescribable. But I can grasp a little piece of that tidbit, don't I? The thing is, I can embrace that God loves me with confidence. And that fear can leave because he loves me so much. He sent his son as a sacrifice for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for every person in Rosetown, and he wants to know them. God's love for me is interceding in Christ. Oh boy. He intercedes for us all the time. I lost my spot. See, when Jesus intercedes for us to God, he continues to represent the fact that he died for our sins. That he was a sacrifice for us. His interceding for us, and as long as we look to him and walk with him, that sacrifice is complete. Jesus paid the price for your sin, and he continually intercedes for us. Hebrews 7:24 says, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. What does that mean? It means he's continually there interceding for us, praying for us, lifting us up. When things are tough, he's there praying for us, fighting our battles. That's the love Jesus has for us. The next point is God's love for me is victorious in Christ. 35 to 37 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we shall face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." God's love for me is... and victorious. It is unconditional and victorious. See, here's the thing. It's a conquering love. It's a never-failing love. It's a winning love. Nothing can defeat his love for us. He always loves us. The word for victory or conquer in the Greek is Nike. Or as we may say in English, Nike. Back in the day, you used to put your Nikes on when you're going to play basketball, or Michael Jordan would put on his Air Jordan Nikes, right? Why would Michael Jordan go put on his Nikes? Because he had so many championships. He was going to be a conqueror out on the basketball court. I wasn't a very big conqueror in the basketball court. I thought it was football. I almost fouled out in the first quarter. That was awful. But What Paul does, is use a preposition, hooper, which means super or mega or awesome. So the love of God for us is hooper nike, more than conquerors, super victorious. Guys, God loves us so much, it is super victorious. We are more than conquerors because of his love. His love makes us more than conquerors. I'll give you an example of a sport I know. So, I don't know, has anybody heard of the New England Patriots? Pretty good football team. They've won a few championships. What would happen if the New England Patriots came to Rosetown to play the Rosetown High School football team? Do you think they'd be super victorious? Yeah. They would beat Rosetown. We'd have a super victorious win, wouldn't we? That's the victory we can walk forward with. We can walk forward in that same super victorious lifestyle, that same super victorious mindset. See, Paul doesn't just make up words to make up words here. He says the words because there's power in them and there's belief in them. Because of Christ's love, we are super victorious. We're not victorious from our past. We're super victorious in our past. Right? Why don't we live like we're super victorious then? We should be living life like we're super victorious in him. Hardships might come, but we're super victorious already in those. He's told us that. Why should we be able to live like that? Because the truest thing about us is what God says is true. And God says that I am perfectly loved and I am super victorious. Believe what God says because it's the truest thing about you. Don't believe the lies that Satan tells you. You are super victorious. Hooper Nike, it's my favorite word because it's one of those words I can actually say that's from another language. Hooper Nike. So what's stopping you from living a Hooper Nike lifestyle? Because I think a lot of it is just our perspective. And our perspective needs to become God's perspective. Because the truest thing about me is what God says is true. So does God love me? He sure does. He perfectly loves us. So God's love for me is sovereign and it's powerful in Christ. God's love for me is redemptive in Christ. God's love for me is knowledgeable in Christ. God's love for me is sacrificial in Christ. God's love for me is victorious in Christ. Not just victorious, hupernike, super victorious. That's exciting. See, everybody's lucky nobody's in the front row because there'd be live a flying. Super victorious. How do I know that? Because it says so in his word. We can read it. He's told us, because how does he speak to us? But through his word. Do we believe it? We better. He tells us every day. He loves us. We are more than conquerors. Let's live a victorious life. Super victorious. Let's live a life of more than conquerors. Are you guys with me in this? Do you want to live a super victorious life? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you've made us super victorious. God, we thank you that you love us, even though the mess that we were. But through you, we are victorious. God, you've given us a new perspective in our life. God, you are sovereign. God, we are so thankful because of the victory you have given us, that the darkness is pushed back and we do not have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in condemnation because we are your children and we have victory over that other stuff through you and through the sacrifice of Jesus. God, allow us to be reminded each day that we are super victorious in you. God, give us that excitement and that joy back. Stir our hearts for those around us. The battle's already won, and we thank you for that. Victory belongs to you, Jesus. Father God, give us a good week. God, we're excited about the week to come. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for pouring out your goodness on us. God, I pray that we stay focused on you this week. God, give us opportunities to share your goodness with others. God, work through us to push back the darkness in this town. And show this town that you love them. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you next week.